Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ, located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Bryant Tansel. His message for this morning is The Great Patriarchs. I don't know what you guys are doing at this time, but I suggest that you stop, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the message, Brother Tansel will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Good morning, Danielle. Good morning, everyone on our call. We thank you so much for listening in on this Friday morning, this chilly Friday morning. We can't quite put our firewood up, and just a chilly, cold day this morning. So hopefully you're staying warm where you are, and you have something warm to drink. And again, we thank you so much for listening in, and thank you, Danielle, as you're always so gracious as our host. So today, our lesson is The Great Patriarchs, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Easter is Sunday, and I was thinking of just some times when I was a child, around the age of 14, my grandmother on my mom's side used to have the place you weren't used to have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. So we all used to get together and get our little Easter baskets, and they used to hide eggs throughout this really large field in front of the manufacturing plant where she worked. And they used to hide those Brock's eggs, which you can't find in the grocery store right now because they're gone. But that used to be the dominant egg everywhere you looked that people hid, and kids couldn't wait to get those and eat them. And then you had to deal with the sugar rush that the kids had afterwards. But they hid Easter eggs out on the grounds of this manufacturing plant, and some of the eggs were those big plastic eggs. So we didn't know they were out there as kids. We're just running and picking up eggs here and there, and I pick up one of those plastic eggs, and inside of it, it says free rabbit. So I was kind of happy. I was like, free rabbit. So I'm thinking a chocolate rabbit, right? I want a free rabbit. So went and picked out the rabbit. We took the rabbit home. And mom and dad let me put him in this big, big box in the house. And overnight, the first night, that rabbit had jumped out of the box. And needless to say, he left us some Easter eggs around the house. So we knew that that rabbit probably wasn't going to be able to stay inside the house from that point going forward. So I had to quickly make him a spot outside. We had an old air conditioner unit that we had put a nice little blanket in, some water, and, you know, I used to feed him lettuce, carrots, green beans, anything he would eat. And I would let him out to eat some clover and grass and just kind of play around. But he lived for about a year, and I named him Petey, Petey the Rabbit. So that's my little Easter story, but hopefully you've got some great fond memories where you come from and where you live of all the Easter dresses and all the nice suits and clothes we used to wear just to dress up. It was always a special holiday in my family, and hopefully it was for yours as well. So Easter, as we spell out the name Easter, the E I have stands for Emmanuel. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted as God is with us. The A in Easter ascend. Over in Genesis 28 and 12, it says, and he dreamed, and behold, a letter set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Can you imagine the angels going up and down a ladder into heaven? The S stands for salvation in Psalms 25 and 5. Lead me in my truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait the day. You ever pray for something and you wait for God all day? The T in Easter stands for totally committed. Are you totally committed to the Lord? The E I've written is everybody on this call. I'm praying that everyone on this call is healthy, is safe, and everything on your heart today God will grant for you. And the R is religion. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as we look at the three patriarchs in Genesis 12 through 36, one of the most important Bible characters is Abraham. His name is often linked together with his son and grandson, Isaac and Jacob. You've heard of these three mentioned. This is because these three men received the same special promises from God. Now, Abraham had other children, but it was through Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson, that these very significant promises were passed on. And most of the time, these three promises are called the land, nation, and seed promises. The land refers to Canaan, and is the very land where many of Abraham's modern-day descendants live. The nation denotes the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Throughout their history, the citizens of this nation were called all sorts of different names, including Hebrews, Israelites, Jews, and in modern times, Israelis. The seed promise is the most significant promise of the three because it ultimately refers to Jesus. After all, he was, and all Jews are, a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The seed of Abraham is ultimately talking about Jesus Christ. So when you hear about these three promises, they make up the epic name, the Abrahamic Promise. You've probably heard that referred to as the Abrahamic Promise. So that's very easy to remember. So you just, when that rolls off your tongue, the Abrahamic Promise, just think of the land, the seed, and the land, the nation, and the seed. And Bible students today often refer to each of these men as a patriarch. This term means the father of a family. The oldest male in the family wore the title of patriarch. And during this unique period of time, God spoke directly to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we start with Abraham in Genesis 12 and 24, imagine packing up everything you own and moving. That's exactly what Abraham did. But he didn't even know for sure where he was going because God told him to leave his home in Ur of the Chaldeans and move to a land that I will show you in Genesis 12 and 1. And so he packed up and moved to Haran. Then at the age of 75, God called him to move to Canaan over in Genesis 12 verses 4 and 5. So when Abraham finally arrived, God told him that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. That was great in everything, but there was just one little problem. Abraham didn't have any children. He was a 75-year-old man who had a 65-year-old wife named Sarah. Whoever heard of a 65-year-old woman having a child? So imagine back, you know, we think about today, but imagine back in those days, 65. When we look at the promise of Isaac in Genesis 17 and 21, Abraham continued to walk with God, growing closer to him and learning to trust him. So God blessed Abraham with large flocks and herds, made him very strong and powerful, and the people in Canaan respected him. They feared him, and as his wealth just continued to build and build and build. And adding to this prestige in the religion, Abram, he led an army of men to save his nephew Lot when he was kidnapped by an area king in Genesis 14, 1 through 16. So it was a tremendous victory for Abraham and the surrounding region. As great a man as he was, however, he still didn't have an heir, didn't have a child to leave all that to. So when they'd been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah told Abraham to have a child by her handmaid, Hagar. This was a legal custom in those days, and it seemed to Abraham and Sarah to be the only viable solution. After all, Sarah wasn't getting any younger, and so Ishmael was born when Abraham was 86 years old. When Abraham was 99 years old, an angel appeared to him and Sarah and told him this time next year, Sarah was going to give birth to a son. Now, we can imagine the looks on their face. They named this son Isaac, which means laughter. So you have to chuckle when God gives you blessings at the time that he does. So while holding his newborn baby son in his arms, Abraham must have thought back to 25 years before when God had first said, I will make you a great nation. There's still a long way to go before this small family of three becomes a large nation of people. That's crazier. So we're going to talk about the sacrifice of Isaac here. And then we may get into Jacob here next week if we run out of time. But when we look at the sacrifice of Isaac, the climax of the Abraham story is when God asks Abraham to do the impossible. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Words can't even begin to describe how Abraham must have felt, confused, nauseated, angry. Despite the obvious question popping in his head, Abraham's faith rose to the top. After all, he'd been walking with God for a long time. There must be a reason for this inhumane request. God was testing Abraham. Human sacrifice repulses God. He's the creator of life and is the greatest advocate for his protection. The Hebrew writer tells us that Abraham believed that if God asked him to do this, then he would raise Isaac back from the dead. After all, why would God go through all the trouble? Ishmael was rejected as the heir of the Abrahamic promise. Why kill Isaac now? And quietly, Abraham assembled the wood for the sacrifice, and he traveled for 3 days towards Moriah. Each step must have been excruciating and heartbreaking. He told Isaac, he tied Isaac on the altar, raised his knife to kill him, and then God called to him, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, in Genesis 22, 11, and 12. So there's no possible way that Abraham could have known this, but almost 2,000 years later, God's son would be killed. Only then was the knife stopped. Instead, Jesus was crucified for the sins of all mankind. So we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up here next week and conclude with Isaac and talk a little bit about Jacob. But is God testing you this morning? Is God telling you something to do that seems impossible? Are you listening to him? So those are some key questions I want to leave you this morning. I hope you and your family enjoy this Easter, this weekend, and you have a great time either talking on the phone or on the computer, or if you live with your family, that you have a great time in person. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this Easter on April 2021. We thank you for all the memories we have of our lovely families on this call and the times that we were able to just hug their neck and eat a really great feast with them on this lovely day. We thank you for all the people that influenced our lives. We thank you for the people that are still here with us right now. And we pray that we stay connected as a community, Lord, to help fulfill your promises and also make change here on earth as we are asked to do. We're asked to step up and be a part of the good that can happen in this world. And we are tested every single day of every week as we watch the news, Lord. We pray for people who've lost their family members. We pray for people who have had fires and their homes have burnt down. We pray for people that are suffering through disasters that have happened here on this earth, like tornadoes. We pray for the pandemic that it may subside at some point, and that those of us who get vaccinated, that those vaccines prove to be the solution that can help us reduce the chance of dying from this illness and this disease called COVID. Keep our minds healthy, Lord. Let us give ourselves to you every day. And before we speak, let us always think of you. We thank you for all the lovely people on this call, the teachers who educated us to get us where we are, who, if we were young kids, Lord, they maybe never heard thanks from a 5 or 7-year-old child. But, Lord, they gave their lives educating and turning those beautiful seeds into flowers. Heavenly Father, thank you again for Grace Nurture and our ministry programs and every minister that prepares a lesson for this service. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer.
And on the